Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23, the first book of the New Testament. We're reading responsively verses 34 through 39 of Matthew chapter 23. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again today, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And even now, Father, we thank you for your word and for this time we can spend together looking into it. Again, Father, prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Lord, there are many needs in this room, and I pray that you will meet the need of each heart here through your word and through the preaching of your word. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Look again with me, please, verse 37 of our text. You notice here our Lord Jesus makes a statement, and it's one that ends with an exclamation mark. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You'll notice, of course, in this very heartfelt cry, that our Lord uses in the statement a simile as seen with the use of the word as. And what does he say? He says, even as, and this is an important point here, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. In other words, by speaking to a city and saying, thy children, the Lord Jesus is giving to all of us here a very familiar picture. It is a picture of the kind of relationship that he offers unto those that he would call his own, those who would come to him. How often, he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, but you would not. So that what you have in this text, of course, by the design of God, is a picture of motherhood. In Isaiah chapter 66, God says to this very same city of people, quote, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. Thus once again illustrating to us the desire of God to gather his own under his wings for the purpose of doing what? As a mother towards a child. Well, that's what I want us to consider this morning as we speak on the subject under his wings. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing our hearts already. Thank you for the fellowship of your people. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for reminding us that softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, and how oft he has. And now, God, in this powerful text, this powerful illustration that your son gave, heartfelt cry over the city of Jerusalem as he wept over that city. This powerful story, Father, may it not be lost in any of us here today. May we recognize you have a message for every person here. So please speak to our hearts in this illustration. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are three things that I want us to consider very carefully and briefly this morning with regards to this amazing illustration that our Lord gives to us of a mother hen who gathers the little baby chickens under her wings and comforts them. The first thing that I want you to notice is that, number one, there is the voice of comfort. You'll notice again in verse 1, the chapter says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples. When my dad retired from the Air Force, we immediately, as a family, packed our bags, loaded into our old Rambler station wagon, and we drove to my Aunt Minnie's home in Harold Store, North Carolina. That was the name of the town, Harold Store, so you can imagine it was a very, very small town. Aunt Minnie and her oldest son owned a chicken farm in Harold Store, North Carolina, and that whole spring and that entire summer, as young children, I was in the sixth grade, we had the experience of working amongst what seemed to us to be a gazillion chickens. Most of them stayed in these long chicken barns. It looked like Quonset huts, but the favorites, the pets of my cousins, were allowed to roam free, including several hens, which that spring were caring for the cutest and the tiniest little chicks that you ever saw. Nothing is any softer, nothing's any cuter than little yellow newborn chicks. We, in Hammond, we had these big bus promotions. We had an average of 25,000 in Sunday school every Sunday at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, largely because we ran buses into Chicago by the 100, 125, and we brought inner-city kids in one spring for Easter. We had the bright idea of giving away, if you come tomorrow, everybody comes and gets a little baby chick. Well, why would an inner-city teenager need a little baby chick? And there were little baby chicks all over the Dan Ryan Expressway from Hammond to Chicago. They were, I mean, if PETA had been there, we would have all been shot, I'm sure. But nothing is any cuter, but nothing is any more fearful and skittish than little chicks. That's why we call a coward a chicken. If you look up the word chicken in Webster's dictionary, one of the definitions will be that of a coward. And I can remember that staying at my Aunt Minnie's farm, that the sound of thunder would cause these little chicks to be terrified and their very short lives would flash before their eyes. And of course, the mother then would make a racket. And I never understood what she was saying. Obviously, it was chicken speech of some sort, but it was a message to the little ones to recognize the voice of the mother and to come near and be comforted. And it always worked, but it only worked if they could hear the sound and the voice of the mother and followed that voice. Verse 37 says, the Lord says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, Jesus said, even as a hen gathereth the chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Did you notice the word, how often I would have gathered thee together? The Bible says here that the prophets were sent unto the Jerusalem. The word sent is a reminder to us that God has spoken. We noticed in verse 1 that Jesus spake unto the multitude, and God has given his word to his people. And of course, beloved, the voice of God and the word of God is supposed to be the source of comfort. It is supposed to be the source of guidance to all of God's own. And let me just say this. There has been, for a very long time now, a move amongst Christianity and among churches in America away from the sufficiency of the Word of God and the voice of God to God's own people. As a matter of fact, what a lot of Christians and a lot of churches have been doing is sort of relegating the Bible and relegating the Scriptures, the voice of God Himself, to something of a reference book. You know what a reference book is? A reference book is one of the books in the library that you don't check it out. You don't take it with you and carry it with you and read it all of the time. A reference book is something you just pull out every now and then to prove a point or to answer a question. Well, folks, the problem with that is that God never intended for His Word to be a reference book or simply a textbook. God intends that His Word be His voice from His heart to your heart. One of the things that I learned about chickens at Aunt Minnie's farm was that baby chickens are not very, very smart. They tend to follow the crowd. Matter of fact, they tend to follow movement. Wherever there's just movement, the chickens go, they tend to go that way. And they simply, typically follow the majority just in the same way that people do. And you may have noticed how that the advertising agencies in this country, who are $1 million advertising agencies and know exactly what they're doing, they use the same phrase in the commercials. They say, most doctors recommend, or most dentists prefer, or most people use. You know what they're doing, don't you? They are recognizing the fact that people are followers. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. What our Lord is telling the city of Jerusalem is don't follow the crowd and don't listen to the majority. Listen to my voice. Nothing I'm talking to the believers in this room who know the Lord as Savior. Nothing replaces and substitutes for the Word of God. Not psychology, not philosophy, not religion, not mysticism, and not science. Nothing. I've mentioned in the past that over in France at the Louvre and the great museum there, they have a library. And that library contains tens of thousands of ancient volumes. All of the philosophers, all of the ancient thinkers, the great scientists and educators of days past. And of course, you know, some of them are volumes that are originals, and they're valued at thousands and thousands of dollars. And there are volumes there by Voltaire and Renan and all of the great thinkers in the past. But you know, all of them being considered classics in literature, they have one thing in common. That is, nobody reads them anymore. They're sitting there, and they're gathering dust. Tens of thousands of volumes that are all antiquated. All of the ideas about science and about philosophy, they are outdated and they are useless. And let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly true. That is exactly what's going to happen with today's Book of the Month. All of those trendy books at Costco, all those trendy books at Barnes & Noble that are written, designed to tell you how to be successful and how to be happy and how to find meaning in life, it's like fast food. People scarf it up and it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't nourish, and they have to wait for the next famous and or popular book to come out, the Book of the Month. Why? Because it's just words. And folks, it's words of man's opinions and not the words of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. You know what he meant by that? So what do you mean, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils? He meant that unlike the word of man, the word of God, God's word to your heart as his child, that word alone has the true answer to whatever your heart's need is today. Some of you here this morning, you would love to hear the voice of your mother. I used to have an old gentleman here by the name of Max. Brother Max used to tell me, almost monthly, you know, I miss my mother. He was an old man at the time even. He talked about how much he missed her words of counsel and words of comfort. And you know, there's a reason for that. No one else can warn you and rebuke you and comfort you like your own mother. And so it is that God takes that relationship, puts it in the animal kingdom and says, as a mother hen, so would I. And beloved, this is it. This is the voice of God's heart speaking to your heart. Are you listening to it? Did you read it throughout this week? Will you read it in the weeks to come and throughout the year? She comforts through her words. Secondly, she comforts through her presence. Verse 37 again. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often I would have gathered thy children together even, now watch this, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Now, folks, you get that mental picture. Under her wings, you talk about presence and you talk about fellowship and talk about assurance. Five times in the book of Psalms, David used an expression that illustrates just how closely God wants his presence to be to you. He says, for example, in Psalm 17:8, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Wait a minute, the shadow of his wings. How close is that? Psalm 91:4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. Listen, folks, that's the closeness. That's the fellowship. That's the relationship that God wants to have with you, that Jesus wanted to have with his own in Jerusalem. The very first time I ever saw a mother hen covering its own and its wings, I didn't even realize they were there. I didn't realize that there were chicks under there, because they were so close, they were so covered, it looked like a little chicken explosion when they all just came out. And folks, that's the picture that God gives us in the book of Psalms and in Matthew 23. Psalm 61:4 says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 57:1 says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, Boaz looks at this young woman named Ruth, whose life had become one heartache and sorrow after another. And he said, Ruth, may the Lord recompense thy work and give thee a full reward. He said, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So what was he saying? He was saying that just as a mother bird comforts its young with its own wings, so too will God comfort his own with his presence. Folks, Ruth had lost her husband, and Ruth had been far from home. Ruth was a stranger and a sojourner, and she knew that the gods and the idols of Moab had no comfort to offer her. She knew that pagan gods never were presented to her as a mother hen caring for the needs of its young. And so she put herself under the wings of the true God of Israel. He comforts through his presence. Several years ago, our youngest son, Ben, he was about 3 at the time. We were watching a movie called Babe. It's a very realistic, believable story about a talking pig that wins a sheepdog contest. And at one point in the movie, it gets really scary. I say it gets scary. I know I was scared. But it's about these two dogs are fighting it out. And for a 3-year-old, I guess it's scary. And I remember this well because Ben is lying on the floor watching it, and he gets up. He never says a word. He walks over. He sits down next to his mother, and he puts her arms around him. He just wanted her presence. You know, Beethoven once wrote, "Oh, who was happier than I when I could still utter the name of mother, and it was heard." So why? Because God has so designed it that in our lives and in the animal kingdom, a mother's presence is an amazing comfort to its young. And beloved, so is the presence of our God. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me." You say, "But pastor, I don't feel God's presence with me. I don't feel the presence of the Lord." You know what? That's okay. Then all you have to do is trust the presence of the Lord because he promised it. Look, the truth of the matter is it is far better to know his presence based upon his promise than it is to feel it anyway. I don't feel Brother Sam behind me, but I know he's there. I know it because I just heard him whisper to Dez, "Hey, 15 more minutes, Pepsi grill." But you know, you don't have to feel it. People say, "I come to church because I want to feel God's presence." Now, I'll be honest with you. Many times, I feel the presence of God here. But sometimes I don't feel it, but I know he's here. Because where two or more are gathered, he promised. And God keeps his promises. God said in Isaiah 43, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." He didn't say, "You'll fill me with you." He said, "I will be with you." Every now and then someone says to me, "Pastor, I haven't been in church in a few months, and I just wanted you to know I'm there in spirit." Now that means I'm supposed to feel their presence here. You know, their body's on the 13th green, but their ghost is in here with us. Which means we run about 4,000 in attendance. But I don't want their spooks around here, do you? You don't have to feel God's presence to know that he's with you because he promised. I'll tell you what I saw in the book of Mark some time ago. Mark 16:19 says that our Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven, sat down on the right hand of God, right? But it said that. And then in the very next verse, which is the last verse of the gospel, it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." That's it, Brother Dez. He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father. But the Lord is working with us. He is here. His presence is promised. "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." And that's what the Christian life is all about. The presence of God working with the people of God. His presence, beloved, is something you don't have to ask him for. You don't really, and I say this in my prayers at times, but I mean it in the sense of the biblical meaning of it when I say, "God, be with me this week." Really what I'm saying is, "Lord, help me to live because I know you're with me. Help me to live." God's presence is with you. You simply need to trust what he has said. He will cover you under the shadow of his own wings. through his voice, through his presence. And then number three, notice the comfort, the guidance that is offered through his actions. Verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. See the words, have gathered and gathereth. Those are verbs, and they speak of action, and that's what the mother hen does. And again, beloved, if you've ever seen a mother hen get protective, then you know exactly the kind of picture our Lord is giving us here. You ever heard the expression, mad as a wet hen? R.G. Lee used to tell the story from his boyhood of a brush fire that swept through their neighbor's farm. In such a fast-moving and sudden fire, he said that things were destroyed in just a matter of minutes. And one of the things that was discovered afterwards were the remains of a charred hen, a mother chicken. A mother hen that had taken the brunt of the fire as it passed by and lost its life. The amazing thing, however, when the farmer came out and picked up the hen, out came several safe and live baby chicks. The mother hen giving its life and protection for the little ones. You say, Pastor, are you saying that Jesus might go through the fire and sacrifice in order to save and protect me? No, actually, folks, he already did. He has already taken upon himself all of the fires of tribulation on the cross at Calvary. He's already suffered. And you know something? The reason we sing, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Those wounds testify that God, who spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if God is willing to give his son in sacrifice, don't you think that he'll give whatever you need to protect you from the trials and the temptations and troubles of this world? In other words, God's not going to hold back when it comes to protecting and caring for his own. In fact, you just think for a moment, just think for just a minute, of all of the times that the enemy has tried to destroy you, and all of the times that the enemy has tried to sift you as wheat, but God was faithful. And he is the one who's calling you softly and tenderly. He is the one who is, through his voice, speaking so that you should heed. I was thinking this week about those two words in verse 37. How often? You see those two words? How often, Jesus said. How often I called. How often I spoke. And I spread my wings. He says in the entire text and in the verses all before this, I sent prophets to you. And I sent priests to you. And they spoke my word to you. How often, he says, I spoke, and how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathereth her chickens, but you would not. Let me ask you a question. How often for you this morning, if you're a child of God, here this morning, I want to remind you of who your refuge really is. I read about those tornadoes in USA Today this week. I talked to Louise on the phone. She said she could hear it at one point. And people are terrified because all I can think of is I don't have anywhere to go, nowhere to hide. And there's a greater terror than that. It's the terror of the evil one of Satan, who the Bible says is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you have one refuge as a child of God. Those are the wings of God. And Jesus says, how often I would have gathered you together. If you're a child of God here this morning, I'll remind you again of who your refuge is. And I admonish you to hear his voice. Stop listening to the voices of people who don't even know him. Stop reading and listening to the voices of people who actually disagree with him. and listen and heed the voice Christ himself. And then run to his wings. He's there. Run to his wings for sanctuary. If you're here today and you're not one of God's children, and I say that you're not one of God's children because biblically the Bible says you must be born again to be a child of God. Jesus said those words. This is the message that he has for you. The message he has for you is, oh sinner, he's calling. And you can come under his wings. You know, the Jewish people in the Old Testament had a beautiful expression for Gentiles that would come to trust in the living God, Jehovah God. In their expression, they said they have come under the wings of the Shekinah. That was the expression they used for those outside of the faith who came to believe in Jehovah God. They have come to be under the wings of the Shekinah. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, God wants you to be under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of man. Come home to Him today. Our God in heaven, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this wonderful text, dear God, reminding us of our relationship with you. In the words that you gave through the prophet Isaiah, as one whom his mother comforteth, Lord, so will I comfort you. Thank you for reminding us, God, of this intimate relationship, protection and comfort, peace, a refuge, God, in a sinful world, in a world full of trials and tribulations, God. Thank you for reminding us that we have a refuge. And I pray, God, that we'll be faithful to be there always. And then, Father, for these who've asked for prayer, several hands raised, God, and said, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm saved. We pray for them now, again, that they will recognize that, Lord, it's your Son that you gave for their sins that will save them, not religion or their good works, but faith in him. And may they embrace Christ as Savior today before it's too late. Thank you for many decisions made this morning. Help all of our decisions, Father, to have everlasting fruit. Now go with us in your love, Father. Bless the fellowship of your people and certainly the service tonight. We'll give you the praise for all that is done in our hearts and lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.